And we're thankful for the opportunity to be able to share our time together with them as well this morning. May we look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. It's a beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for this weekend that is set aside to remember those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom, for our liberty in this great nation. But most of all, Father, we thank you for your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Lord and our friend, who indeed fought that battle, the ultimate battle, and he won. And in Christ, we also have victory. Victory for all eternity, because that he laid down his life on the cross. He shed his righteous blood as payment for our sins. He was laid in that tomb. 3 days, 3 nights later, he came out alive, victorious, and we have victory in Jesus. So we thank you for him. We thank you, Lord, for every man and woman that has fought and given their lives on the battlefield for us to be able to enjoy even the liberty that we have this morning to come together to worship you. Would you bless each family, Lord, certainly in days such as this, weekends such as this, brings the memories back clear and vibrant once again to them. But Lord, we thank you and we ask your blessings upon them in a very special way. Bless us now as we study your word together. Be honored, be glorified, receive glory to yourself. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. This morning I ask you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 52. I realize we were in Isaiah last week as well, and I've referred to a lot of different passages from Isaiah in the last few weeks. There's so much that is to be seen in these particular passages of Scripture and encouragement and comfort that is to be found as we study God's Word together, and particularly in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 52, I'm going to concentrate on verse 12, but I'm going to start reading back up at verse 7, reading verses 7 through 12. And as you're turning there and finding your place, just to kind of set this up, Isaiah is writing to them at a time when it is prior to Judah being carried away captive into Babylon. It's prior to when the Babylonian army came in and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. And even before that it takes place, God is telling his prophet Isaiah to write these things to prepare his people for what's about to take place. And even in these passages that we're going to read this morning, not only is he preparing them for what's going to happen when they go into captivity, but these verses are going to tell them that he's going to bring them back out. He's going to bring them into the place where that they are now. But there's going to be a period, and we now know that period of time was 70 years that they were in captivity. But in this passage that Isaiah is blessed to write here that we're reading, he's talking about as God begins to bring them out. Isaiah chapter 52, starting with verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy God reigns. Your God reigns. I want us to be settled in that this morning. I want us to just embrace that great truth that as we're in this period of time, that for so many it's a time of unknown, it's a time of change, it's a time of going through maybe even a period of darkness. Can I remind you this morning, your God is in control. Your God is in control. You may think that everything is out of kilter. You may think that everything is upside down. But I'm telling you this morning, Thy God reigns. He reigns. He's seated upon His throne. He's never relinquished His control to anyone. You've heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again just now. Sometimes we hear people kind of give the impression that this world belongs to the devil. I'm going to tell you, no, it does not. This world does not belong to anyone other than to our Lord and our Savior, our God, Jesus Christ. The world is His, and all that is in it is declared in the Psalms. And I don't read anywhere that that's changed. In fact, what I do read is our God never changes. So if He was in control when David wrote that He is this world belongs to Him, this earth belongs to Him, can I tell you this morning it still belongs to Him now? And He's still in control. Your God reigns. Now, as I read that verse of Scripture, I know a lot of times that verse of Scripture may be tried to be applied to the preacher. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings. Well, I'm going to tell you, I want to bring you good tidings this morning, but it's not based upon what I say. This one is, that's spoken of here in verse 7, is our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. How beautiful are the feet of Jesus! As He declares unto us, your God reigns. How did He declare that? Well, He declared it in His birth. He declared it in His life. He declared it in His death. He declared it in His burial. And praise God, He declared it in His resurrection. Our God reigns. And so I'm saying to you this morning how beautiful our Lord and our Savior is as He has declared unto us, thy God reigns. Verse 8. Now here's where the preacher comes in. Thy watchman shall lift up the voice. And yes, I do get excited about it. And yes, I do lift up my voice when I talk about the sovereignty of God and the power of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God that's been bestowed upon us. The watchman shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every child of God could see everything eye to eye? But it doesn't work that way, does it? We all have our own impressions. We all have our own thoughts. We all have our own ideas. But I'm going to tell you, whatever my thought, whatever my idea may be, there's one whose thoughts are much higher than mine. Whatever my way may be, there's one whose ways are much higher than mine. And He's the one who reigns. He's the one who's in control. He's my God, and He's your God as well. Our God reigns. And so, in order to see eye to eye, it has to come to the place that we put ourselves completely out of the picture, and we only see God. That's when we all will see eye to eye. And can I tell you, there's coming a time when that's going to happen. There's coming a time when the skies are going to part. There's coming a time when our Lord is going to step out on those clouds. The trumpet's going to sound. The archangel is going to declare the shouts. And those that are dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them and changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, made to be just like Jesus. And I'm going to say at that time, everyone shall see eye to eye. And everyone is going to declare with all boldness, my God reigns. My God reigns. I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? It makes me go verse 9. Break forth into joy. It makes me glad. It makes me happy when I think about how that my God reigns. It makes me happy to know that my God's in control. Though I don't understand everything, I can't give you a reason why certain things happen, but I can tell you one thing. God knows why. God allowed it to happen, and there's a purpose and a reason for it, and ultimately it's to His glory that we might see Him as He truly is. So I break forth into joy, and we sing together. The song service these last three Sundays have just been wonderful. You're glad to be back in God's house, aren't you? And for those that aren't able to be back yet, I say to you, I hope very soon you're able to be back in God's house as well. There's just a great joy to be together. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted His people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Remember the passage I used last Sunday? God said, you are mine. I've called you by your name. I created you, I formed you, and I know it's not in that particular order, but it's Isaiah 43. I created you, I formed you, I made you, I called you by name. You're mine, I've redeemed you, God says. And here again, he reiterates that. He reinforces that to us, that He has redeemed us. So now, no matter what may be going on in our lives at any particular given instance, we're still His. We still belong to Him. And He's still in control. He's still in control. Verse 10. The Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nation. He's made bare His holy arm. He's made bare His holy arm. Have you ever, men, especially women, I guess sometimes too, but men, you get ready to do something, you got long sleeves on and they kind of start binding you. What do? You start rolling up your sleeves, right? You get the sleeves out of the way so you can get right into the job. You can get right into doing whatever it is. And I know that God doesn't have sleeves to roll up, but He uses human language so that you and I can understand what He's saying. And He's saying, no matter what's going on in your life, I'm rolling up my sleeves and I'm going to get right there with you. I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to bring you through. I'm going to handle it. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to see you through all the way. We're going to see that again in a moment. But He says, I'm rolling up my sleeves. This is a task that is not going to overtake you. This is a task that's not going to overwhelm you. When I become overwhelmed in situations in life, you know what I find about myself? I've taken my eyes off of the Savior. I've looked at the situation rather than looking at my Lord. He says, I rolled up my sleeves. Let's go to work. Let's go get Him. Let's take care of it. I'm going to see you through all the way. The Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye. Depart ye here. He's calling this one. He's going to call them back out. It's going to be 70 plus years later, but He's already telling them what's going to take place. Depart ye. Depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Don't bring anything out that you found in there. Because whatever you found in there don't belong to you, and you don't need it anyway. If it's a situation, if it's a struggle, if it's a problem, don't pick it up and try to take it home with you. Leave it there. We sing that song, don't we? Take your burdens to the Lord and do what? Pick them back up, stick them in your pocket, and carry them back home with you? No, you leave them there. Because it's His holy arm, and it's His sleeves that He's rolled up, and it's Him that's going to see you through. It's Him that's going to take care of the situation. Whether it turns out the way that you think it ought to or not, God reigns, right? We've already agreed on that. I saw you shaking your head, yes. You agreed with me on that. So if you agree with me on that, do you still agree with me in the middle of the struggle? When the darkness is there and the clouds are settling in, do you still agree with me then that God reigns? I see some shaking your head. If you don't now, I hope before this day is over that you do, because it's the truth. God reigns no matter what's going on. No matter what's going on, our God reigns. It doesn't say our God wants to reign, our God might reign, our God will reign, our God used to reign. No, He says, my God reigns, present tense. So when does that present tense apply? Well, when is the present tense for you? All the time. Right now. Your God reigns. Your God reigns. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. That's my long introduction for my text, verse 12. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you. I want you to know what a beautiful sight it is for me to look up and see you looking down at your Bibles. That is the most beautiful sight. Go not out in haste. Don't panic. Don't go by flight. Don't think you got to run away. Why? Our God reigns. you try to run away from the situation, you know what's going to follow? What's going to happen? I just said it. It's going to follow you. It's going to follow you. So as you look at this, as you think about this, he says, don't run out. Don't stop and pick it up. You remember when Jericho was destroyed and the walls came tumbling down and there was a man by the name of Achan, not A-K-I-N, but A-C-H-A-N, who saw a Babylonian garment and a piece of silver. He picked it up and took it with him, buried it under his tent, thought nobody knew where it was. Nobody knew that he had it. I've hidden it from everybody. I'm okay. I've got this thing. But he didn't hide it from God. I can put a smile on my face and tell you that everything's all right, but God knows what's in my heart. But he doesn't intend for me to carry it around. He doesn't intend for me to make haste with it or try to flee away with it. He stands with open arms. And I know the last 3 Sundays that we've been together, I've said this many times, but he stands with open arms saying, come to me. Bring it to me. And lay it down. And leave it there. Verse 12, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. I haven't perfected pronouncing that word yet, but I don't pronounce it anymore like I used to. I used to pronounce it re-reward. It is not a re-reward. He says, I will be your rearward. In our spelling today, we would spell it R-E-A-R-W-A-R-D. What God is saying is, I'm going to be in front of you, and I've got your back. I'm going to be behind you, and I'm going to take you all the way through. Now, this morning, I ask again, do you believe that? Do you believe that God's got you? Do you believe he's in control? Do you believe that he reigns? If so, then there should be some comfort that's settling in on you right now. Some peace that maybe has escaped you should be coming in on you right now as you think about God has you in his control. Oh, but I feel like, aren't you glad salvation is not based on feelings? Aren't you glad that God's actions are not based on feelings? I feel like my world is out of control. I feel like that my world is upside down. It does matter to a degree what you feel, because God is touched by the feelings of your infirmities. But it does not affect God as to how that he deals with you and how that he brings you through and how that he is still in control and how he's still in authority and how he's still reigning and on his throne. My feelings does not affect God as to how that he deals in my life, but rather he brings me to a place where that my feelings are brought into an alignment with him. And when my feelings are in an alignment with him, then there is a peace and there's a joy because things are right. And you know what Paul called that? The kingdom of heaven. You're experiencing the kingdom of heaven when things are, you understand that things are right in your world because God is working them, and you have peace and joy as a result of that. But now I wanted to just, for just a few moments, The last half of verse 12. Excuse me. It's allergies, I promise you. For the Lord will go before you. The Lord will go before you. I don't see how I'm going to get through this. You don't have to see it. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Faith is seeing those things as though they are, which you really can't see, but you see it with your heart. You know that God's got you. The Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward. In the 26th chapter of Isaiah, in verse 3, God says to us, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Thou wilt keep him. God will keep you in perfect peace. God will keep me in perfect peace when my mind and my heart is stayed upon him, because I trust him. Because I trust him. But if I'm wavering with my mind, if I'm wavering with my heart, there's no peace in that. It's like the waves of the ocean. If you've ever been out on a boat when the waves were white capping on a lake, you're complete. There's no peace there. You're wondering if the boat is going to turn over or not. What's going to happen? What's going to take place? But if our hearts and our minds are stayed upon Him, He says, "I'll keep you in perfect peace." Now, that word "stayed" means to lean against. What a perfect song. Leaning on the everlasting arm. It means to lean against. It means to prop up. And I read this just this past week. A man that was praying. And he said, "Lord, prop me up on the leaning side. Prop me up on the leaning side." And somebody asked him, what do you mean by that? And that is, we all have a weakness. We all have a side that we tend to lean. "Lord, prop me up on the leaning side, that I might be upright, that I might be steady, that I might be focused, that I might be stayed upon you, that my heart will be stayed upon you, that I will constantly be reminded and know time and time and time again, my God reigns. My God reigns." And if I can keep that in my heart, if I can keep that in my mind, He says, "I'll give you a peace." And Paul states it as a peace that passes all understanding, that keeps your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You see, you can't let your mind wander back to the going to my text here. You can't let your mind wander back to what God has brought you out of and expect to have peace when you're looking there and trying to look here where He's taking you. You've got to have your mind, your heart, your focus upon the Lord who is reigning and in control of your life, and knowing that He's going to see you through. Solomon the wise man, he used, again, I know I'm using a lot of scripture over and over these few weeks, but it's on my heart. So if you've already got this down pat, then just say, okay, go ahead and get it out of your mind, get it out of your words, because you're going to say it, because I'm going to say it. In Proverbs chapter 3, the wise man Solomon, he said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." And what did God say in response to that? "I'll give you perfect peace when you do. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." How can I keep from leaning to my own understanding? Is to be stayed or propped up with the understanding that my God reigns. "Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Acknowledge Him. "Lord, I need you. Lord, I can't handle this. I can't do this. I'm too weak to do this. I don't have the understanding to do this." He says, "Acknowledge me. Trust me. Be not wise in thine own eyes." You ever experienced that? Have you ever thought... Again, I'm using so many things over and over. Have you ever thought you were smarter than your daddy? Smarter than your mama? You had all the answers, you didn't need to ask them anything? God says, forget it. Don't lean on your own understanding, because you don't have any. No offense. It's just the truth of it. You don't have any understanding. I don't have any understanding except that which God gives. And that which God gives us the understanding that we need the most, isn't it? Because His way is right. His way is true. He says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Honor the Lord. So here's the key. Brother Robert, you're a graduating senior, so I'm going to give you these keys, and it applies to every one of us. Trust the Lord. Look to Him and ask Him for help. Don't look to your own ways. Look to His. And He will give you the things you need when you honor Him. That applies to every one of us. For He says, when we do those things, He says, thy barns will be filled with plenty. Be plenty. If you do that, if you seek the Lord, you trust Him, you honor Him, you acknowledge your need for Him, He says, I'll give you everything you need. Jesus put it this way, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And when God adds to you, He says it'll be plenty. In another place, He says it'll be pressed down, packed down, and overflowing. David said, my cup overflows. A song that's popular a few years back says, I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup is overflowing. Can you say that this morning? If you can't, can I just tell you to stop and start looking around? Be like one of the other songs that we sing, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done. Let me get on. He gives us so many illustrations in His Word of how that God reigns. I'm going to give you three that's found in the book of Daniel. I'm just going to go quickly with them. You're familiar with every one of them, but it's just an instance how that God reigns. The three Hebrew children. They refused to bow down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. They refused to bow down to what the rest of the world was doing at that moment. They refused to give in to it. They were going to be given a second chance. They said, don't bother. We're not going to bow down to your idol. We're not going to give in to you. We're going to honor our Lord, and we're going to trust Him to take care of us. Nebuchadnezzar had the furnace heated 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated before. So much so that the men who were going to cast them in were killed. The three Hebrew children fell down into the fire. I find that interesting. They weren't thrown in there. They fell down in there. That kind of tells me they just said, we're this close. Let's just go on. We're going to be in the middle of it. Nebuchadnezzar got up and walked where he could look in there. He said, didn't we throw 3 men in there? Yes, we did, King. Lo, I see 4. And one of them's like the Son of God. God says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll go before you. He was in the fire when they got there. Do you believe that? He was already there when they got there. He was there when they were there. And He had their back when they came out. And then Daniel. Daniel was required, all the nation was required not to ask anything of anyone other than the king. And Daniel did just like he had always done. He didn't make a big show of it. He just did like he always did. 3 times a day, he opened his windows toward Jerusalem and he prayed. He prayed to God. And the law was, if you ask anything of anyone, you're going to be thrown into the lion's den. They threw him in. The next morning, Nebuchadnezzar came, looked in with trembling voice, said, and I'm paraphrasing this, are you okay, Daniel? Did your God take care of you? Yes, King, I'm all right. My God has stopped the mouth of the lions. Do you believe it this morning? Do you believe that God's able to quench the fire? Do you believe that He's able to stop the mouths of lions? Do you believe that He's able to stop those that would rise up against Him? I'm not counting anybody to try to rise up against me. This is against God. Nebuchadnezzar, another time, he tried to raise himself up to say, I'm such a good man. I have such glory. Look at everything that I have built for my glory, as he's pointing around the city of Babylon. And as those words fell out of his mouth, before they came out of his mouth, his understanding was taken from him. He was driven out in the field, and for 7 years he acted just like a cow. He ate grass. He grazed with them. He lived among them. His hair grew to where it looked like feathers. His claws, his nails looked like they were claws. And it was only when he lifted up his eyes and began to praise the Almighty God that his understanding returned to him. Can I ask you something this morning? This may sound very personal. I guess when I do, I'm going to look at the door so I'm not looking at anybody in the eye. Is there something in your life that you just don't understand? Can I tell you this morning? Again, I'm not talking to the door, but I'm looking at the door. Forget it. I can't do that. Can I tell you this morning, when you take your eyes off the trouble and put them back on the Lord, when you take your eyes off of yourself and put them back on the Lord, your understanding will return to you. And it'll be okay. How can I say it'll be okay? Because your God reigns. The God of heaven and earth, He reigns. God said, I'll go before you, and I'll be your rearward. I'll be behind you. And as that took place, as they came to that place where He was behind them, I think about when God was bringing the people of Israel out of Egypt. He's bringing them out of Egypt. And as He brought them out, there was a place, there was a way. We'll make room for you. God bless you all. Thank you for coming. No. Thank you. He was bringing them out. And there was a way that was absolutely direct going into the promised land. In your all reality, I'm going to be liberal in saying they could have been there in 3 days. Probably less than that. But God said, I'm not going to take you the shortcut. I'm not going to take you the easy way. I'm not going to snap my fingers and everything be all right. Because I want to teach you something. I want to teach you how to fight. Do you believe that life's a struggle? Do you believe that everything in life, from the very, very beginning to the very end, time we come into this world to the time that we go out of this world, it's with a struggle? And if we don't know how to fight those struggles, if we don't know how to fight those battles, I'm going to get on a soapbox for just a moment. If we give our children everything that they want, we're doing them an injustice. Because they need to learn how to fight for what they get. They need to learn how to fight to get along in this world. Now, bear with me with this, because there's a proper way to fight. Remember, Paul said, I fought the good fight. There is a good fight that we're to fight. And that good fight is the fight of faith. Believing that God is in control. Believing that God is on His throne. Believing that God reigns. Believing that God will go before us. Believing that God's got our back. When I say we have to learn how to fight, the way that we fight the struggles is by leaning upon the everlasting arms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We learn to fight by leaning and trusting on Him and following Him as He goes before us and as He stays behind us. But He was bringing them out, brought them around to a certain place. And you're all familiar with this story, but I want to bring it in relation to verse 12. When He says, I'll be your rearward. I'll go before you and I'll be your rearward. It's Isaiah 52 and verse 12. He went before them in bringing them to that place. And that particular place, as they got there in front of them, was this vast body of water called the Red Sea. On either side of them, there were cliffs, there were bluffs. And all of a sudden, they began to murmur. They began to complain. Wasn't there enough graves back there in Egypt? Why did God bring us here to die? God didn't bring them there to die. God didn't bring you to where you're at now to die. He's brought you to this place. He's allowed this place to take place to teach you what He's going to do in your life, how that He's going to bring you through. Same with Israel. He brought them to that place for a reason, for a purpose. They couldn't go forward at that point. They couldn't go east. They couldn't go west. They looked around and here come Pharaoh and his army and the dust that was rising up as they were in hot pursuit after the people of Israel. What did God do? That pillar of cloud that had gone before them, He said to them through Moses, "Fear not. Stand still. Don't go out in haste. Don't panic. Don't flee. Because you flee, you get dispersed right now. And you get divided right now and you'll die. You stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. The battle is not yours." He says, "I'm teaching you the battle, remember? The battle is not yours, it's mine. I'm going to fight this battle for you." And at that point, that pillar of cloud that represented God that had gone before them, that pillar of cloud moved itself and He went to their rearward. He went behind them. He went between them and the enemy. Can I tell you this morning, God will always position Himself between you and the enemy. He will always position Himself between you and the enemy. That's why He said, stand still. Don't try to run. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't think you've got to come up with a way to get through this. God says, I've got it. I'm rolling up my sleeves. And I'm going to go back behind you. And when He went back behind them, He was darkness to Egypt and He was light to Israel. That's what God does for you. And God doesn't change. He does not change. You remember what took place after that. They said, there's no way out of this. God said, I'm the way. Moses, take the rod and hold it out over the water. The waters parted. They went through on dry land. God says, I'm going before you and I'm also your rearward. I'm behind you. I'm holding you in place. In closing this morning, I've got two more verses. I'm just saying in closing. I'm not there yet. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Moses is about to die. God has told him, you're not going into the promised land. So he's gathered all of Israel together. It always has fascinated me how that Moses could speak to 2 million plus people at the same time without a sound system. But he did, didn't he? The power of God does that for him. So he gathered them together and he's prophesying to them concerning what's going to take place in their life. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8, Moses said, "And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee." God just reaffirmed that to Israel in Isaiah, didn't He? He said, "I'm going before you." That wasn't a new thing. God doesn't change. He's always gone before them. "He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee." I've asked you a bunch of questions this morning. I got some more. Do you believe this morning that God's with you? Do you really believe that? More than just words, do you believe it in your heart that God's with you? Do you believe He's in control? Do you believe He's reigning? Do you believe He has full authority? Not only over you, but every situation, circumstance that ever comes at us in life. Do you believe it this morning? I hope you do. Even if you're not shaking your head, yes, I'm hoping in your heart you're saying, I believe it, but I have my unbelief. I believe it. I believe it. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee. If you underline your Bibles, this is a good verse to underline, I tell you. He will not fail you. I've failed Him many times, but He has never failed me. And He never will. That's a promise that He's given. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. He won't turn and walk away and say, oh, you've got yourself in this mess. You can get yourself out of it. He says, I've got you. I'm going before you and I've got your back. I'm your rearward. If I could phrase it this way, I'm your forward and I'm your rearward at the same time. I'm your forward and I'm your reverse. Except we're not going in reverse. There's only one way, and that's follow me. Follow me. Don't panic. Don't turn and flee. Don't try to run away. Don't try to get yourself out of it. Just trust me, he says. He will not fail you, neither will he forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed. I'm going to go out on a limb this morning and say every one of us at some point or another has felt dismayed in our life. At some point, every one of us has come to the place of saying, what's the use? Can I tell you what the use is? God is going before you. And God's got your back. And God's going to show you His glory. And God's going to show you His power. God's going to show you His strength. God's going to show you His presence. God's going to show you what you need to see when you need to see it. When you need to see it. And He's the one that determines that. Not me. And not you. But that's a promise. I'll go with you. I won't run away from you. And I won't fail you. I heard a story just this morning. Listening to one of my brothers preaching, and he told a little story about two brothers that got in trouble. And the mama came in and said, who did this? And the little brother looked up at the big one and said, he did. They both were guilty. But he forsook his brother. I've been guilty of that too. God says, I won't. I won't fail you. I won't walk away from you. He says, I'm your forward. I'm your rearward. Go with me now to Deuteronomy 33:27. This will be my final verse. Deuteronomy 33:27. Still Moses speaking. It was last words to the people before he goes up to Mount Pisgah and dies. I pray the Lord will bless these words into every one of our hearts this morning. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God. Did you get that? The eternal God. Not some made-up idol of the world. Not some fictional imagination of somebody's mind. The eternal God who never changes. The one who says, let there be light. And there was light. The one that is spoken of in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The eternal God is thy refuge. You feel like you want to run away? Can I tell you a good place to run to? The one who is your refuge, God Himself. Run to Him. Run to Him. Lord, I need you. I'm coming home. I need you. I've strayed in my thoughts. I've strayed in my imagination. I've strayed in trying to figure things out on my own. Lord, I need you. I'm running to you. You're my refuge. And underneath, remember he said, I'm going in front of you. I'm going behind you. Did you hear what just said? And underneath are the wings. Are the everlasting arms, excuse me. God's saying, I've got you. I'm not even going to ask you if I can say that again. God says, I've got you. I'm in front of you. I'm behind you. I'm underneath you. And being our refuge, He's also over us. And being beside us, He's beside us everywhere. A few weeks ago, before that we were able to start back, I was doing the little series on Facebook of Christ in you. If Christ is in you and we are in Christ, then we're surrounded by Him. We're surrounded by Him. The eternal God is thy refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms. And He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. Now, He's not saying destroy you. He's saying, I will destroy the enemy. Can I tell you, He's already done that. Satan just don't know it yet. Sometimes we fail to recognize who our enemy is. Our enemy is none other than the devil himself, Satan. And he has been destroyed. He was destroyed when Jesus laid down His life. He was destroyed when Jesus went into the tomb. And praise God, He was destroyed when Jesus walked out of that tomb alive. He was victorious over death, over sin, over hell, over the grave. And we have victory, absolute victory in Jesus Christ. Now, do you believe that this morning? I hope so. I really do. Because that is our hope of getting through the struggles of today. It's not only our hope for heaven. Well, if that was all that it was, it'd be more than we deserved, wouldn't it? But it's not just our home in heaven that Christ has reserved for us. He's reserved for us that refuge right now, this moment, in time. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, lay it down, leave it, and don't take it with you. Christ and Christ alone can handle it. And He will destroy it. The Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward. He will be behind you. May God help us to find comfort and peace and instruction and direction in our lives, that we might always walk in harmony with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is my prayer. God bless you all. And for those that are watching on Facebook, God bless you. I pray that whatever struggle you're going through, that the Lord will be your refuge, your forward and your rear as you go from day to day. May God bless you. God bless each one of us this morning. I pray that the Lord will be with us, will protect us and keep us, that we will always hold in our hearts and our minds that blessed absolute truth that our Lord will go with us all the way as we stand and sing.